Job. Choir, orchestra, I appreciate you so much leading us every week to the throne room of God. Don't you appreciate them? Let them know one more time. We're so thankful for you and all that you do. Brother Keith, you do a great job every week, and we are thankful that we're going to be in the book of Exodus chapter 3. That's where we're going to be this morning as we continue our series, Fake News, the Lies That We Tell Ourselves. And if you are looking for Exodus in the Pew Bible in front of you, page 46 is where you can join us. That's where we're going to be in Exodus chapter 3. And we come to the apex of our worship where we study God's Word together. We are finishing the series today because next week we're starting our revival. Dr. Sid Nichols is going to be here. He's going to be preaching Monday through Wednesday as well. He'll preach Sunday for us too. It's going to be a great time. I hope you make plans to join us for that. Well, we've said the most damaging fake news of all fake news stories is the ones that Satan posts in our minds that go viral in our lives and derail and damage our relationships. We talked about the enemy being the great thief. He's come to steal, kill, and destroy us. But that's not the end of the verse. At the end of the verse, it says that Jesus has come to give us life and to give it to us abundantly. And we praise God for the ending of that verse. But in this fake news story, maybe you've experienced something like this as well. And for those of you who are joining us this morning for the first time, we've been talking about this, but maybe you can resonate with this. My past failures prevent my future success. Maybe you've said something like this. God can't use me because of my past. My past mistakes have sealed my future misery. Thank you. If we look behind all the fake news headlines, what we see is truth that failure is never final. In fact, in a lot of ways, failure is really the key to success. The problem is we just don't see the inside. We don't see the struggle. We see people on the outside. We see the final product. We see the outward success. We see someone who looks successful on the outside, but we don't know the backstory. We don't know what it took for that person to get where they are. You tracking with me? We don't get to see the behind it. One of my favorite shows, probably shouldn't say this, but I grew up in a bar DJ's home, so let me give you that caveat, all right? And so we used to watch VH1 Behind the Music, not a real spiritual show, but I always found it interesting what the people went through to get where they were and who they are and the stories. I think that's what made the show so popular. We don't always get to see behind the scenes of people's life, their failures, but sometimes those are really the stepping stones. Failure is just a stepping stone to success. We don't see the mistakes, the letdowns, the discouraging moments, but we see the finish. I'm not sure if you're aware of this or not. A few weeks ago, just 2 weeks ago, one of our members was dancing in the World Championship of Irish Dance in Dublin, Ireland. I don't know any dancers, so this is a cool story to me, all right? She was there. She's been dancing since she was 3 years old. She's a member here. In fact, Rebecca, why don't you come on up here? I want to introduce you to Rebecca Pearson, everybody. Rebecca, you come on up here. I want to give you this. They're a scary bunch. Don't let them freak you out. You've been dancing since you were three, right? Yes. 3 years old. And how old are you now?
17
years old. And the Irish dance finale was 2 weeks ago?
Yes.
Okay. And how long have you been prepping for this moment?
For that particular competition, we've been working on it for a full year.
A full year? How long was the performance?
6 minutes and 23 seconds.
6 minutes and how long?
23 seconds.
You even got the second down. I love it. I love it. What made you get into Irish dance? You step on up here. I want everybody to see.
When I was 3, I started doing ballet. And as I got older, I wanted to, like, add on more dance classes. And my 2 options were Irish dance or jazz or hip-hop. And I tried both of them, and hip-hop really wasn't my thing. I quit at the point that they said we needed knee pads to prevent our knees from bruising too bad.
Good time to quit.
Yeah. So I started doing Irish dance, and I've done it since I was 6, and I love it.
So you practice for a year, and it was 6 minutes and a few seconds there. Any struggles along the way? I mean, what was the biggest challenge that you had to get? Because it wasn't just you. How many people were there?
There were 15 other people on the team.
15 other people. So you had to choreograph and get this all together. Did you guys have it put together all the first time and just a few minor adjustments?
We had a big competition in December, and we had to, like, choreograph the whole dance and work. We had people from the team were from, like, 4 different states. Coordinating practices was crazy. So we could only practice once a month, but we'd have weekends from Friday to Sunday. We'd practice somewhere between 20 and 30 hours. And we choreographed the whole dance, and then we had our competition in December. And we pretty much from there to April when we danced at Worlds, we re-choreographed the majority of the dance. So there was a lot of learning and adapting to change.
How long was the final product?
6 minutes and 23 seconds.
How many hours did you practice?
Around 240.
240 hours of practice for 6 minutes. And how long?
23 seconds.
23 seconds. Do you ever want to quit?
I did at some point. Not with this. This was a lot of fun. But with other stuff in Irish.
With dance, yeah.
Yeah.
A lot of setbacks, I'm sure. Even when you guys were... preparing this 6 minute and 23 second.
We have a lot of solo dancers, so we all do solos. There's me.
There's the champion.
We had 16 solo dancers. But we had 16 solo dancers, and the solo competition, it's all focused on you. So you go on stage with 2 other people you've never seen before, and you don't know their routines, and you have to dance with them and do your dance. And so we were all really focused on, like, because particularly, like, our dancing. And to take 16 of us, some of them who are, like, really, really good, and put us all together, and, like, the choreography stuff is different than the stuff we do for the solos. And putting us all together, it was hard to coordinate everyone and get everyone to do everything exactly the same and not focus on themselves.
A few little setbacks there, but when the final day came, it all came together. You saw what you've been working at for a year. Those 20, 30, 240 hours put in for 6 minutes and 23 seconds. And I just want to tell you, we're proud of you. I think you did a fantastic job. Church, I'm really proud of you one more time. Thank you so much. I appreciate that. Thank you, thank you, thank you. I'll take that too.
Thank you.
I thought you were going to just dance off the stage there. But I wonder this morning, if we were to really probe, because I think there's a true story in all of that. You know, the fake news is that we can't get over our past, we can't get over these hurdles, we're stuck where we are, but if I could tell you the true story in all of this is to keep going. Don't quit. Keep pushing forward. There are setbacks. There are failures. God is weaving all of this together in your life. Some of you have had setbacks this week. Some of you have had some really big setbacks in the last month. And you want to toss in the towel. But God, in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, says that He is working a masterpiece in our lives. We are His workmanship. He's weaving this together. Don't quit. Keep going. And I think we find in the Old Testament a man, Moses, who will communicate this truth to you and I. You remember Moses? He was the Hebrew slave in Egypt, but through the miracle of God, he was raised in Pharaoh's palace as the prince of Egypt. But he knew in his heart God called him to be the great deliverer. He knew that he had a position of influence to do it. He had abilities, talents. He was going to be the great deliverer to the people. The Israelites were going to come out of slavery from Egypt. One day, Moses saw an Egyptian beating a Hebrew slave. You remember the account? What did Moses do? He killed the Egyptian. Soon the rumors began to fly, and the story got out about Pharaoh, or that story got out about Moses rather, and Pharaoh heard about it. Moses ends up running for his life into the desert. His plan, this great plan of Moses, had to be the deliverer. He was going to be the deliverer, but yet his life gets derailed because he makes a mistake and kills a man. I'd say that's derailed, don't you? It came completely off tracks. It was off track, and the next time he sees Pharaoh, I wonder what he went through at that moment. His life derails as he's in the desert of despair. He ends up wandering around the desert as a lowly shepherd, feeling like he's blown it, can never get back on track into God's will. That God's purpose for him had gone up in smoke because he had made a decision like this. Then God meets him right there in the desert of despair. Right there at the burning bush. The bush burns, but it's not consumed. God speaks through the bush. After he gets Moses' attention, God says, "Moses, you were wrong." That's a fake news story in your epic failure, that your epic failure would disqualify you from my great purpose. I want everybody to hear me, because so many times we buy into the fake news story that our epic failure disqualifies us from God's purpose and plan, but God is working a plan in us. God still has a plan for us. God has not forgotten us. God still knows our name. And that's why he was meeting Moses out there in the desert of his despair. That's why he was there meeting Moses in the midst of his failure, saying, "I still have a plan for you. You're not a lost cause. My purpose will not be derailed because you've made a mistake." I want us to look at the book of Exodus as we see what God says through the burning bush. In Exodus chapter 3, verses 9 through 12. Some of you think this new pulpit is going to hold me here. I'm not going to stand here too long. I'm going to keep walking around, right? Exodus chapter 3, verses 9 through 12. "Now therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel has come to me, and I have also seen the oppression with which the Egyptians oppressed them. Come now, therefore, and I will send you to Pharaoh, that you may bring my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt." But Moses said to God, "Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh, that I should bring the children of Israel out of Egypt?" Verse 12. So he said, "I certainly will be with you, and this shall be a sign to you that I have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you shall serve God on this mountain." God says, "Moses, your past failures can't keep you, can't keep the future that I have planned for you." This is what I want you to write down. I want you to etch this in your mind. I want to put this in your heart this morning, that the desert is not your destiny. Some of you need to hear that this morning. I want everybody to listen. The desert is not your destiny. Don't buy in to the enemy putting that and posting that in your mind and letting it go viral. Friends, God has a purpose for your life. Some of you need to hear that this morning because you feel like you're in the desert of despair. You feel the desert of depression, feeling like you'll never break through. You're in the desert of difficulty, feeling like this is the way it's always going to be. But God says, the desert is not your destiny. God has a plan. Sometimes God allows us to go through the desert to get us back on track. Anybody ever been there before? You visited the desert before? God says, "I have a purpose. I have a plan. The desert is not your destiny." Moses has trouble believing it. I can tell that he's really bought into the fake news story. His past has disqualified him from God's purpose because he starts to make excuses. And this is the first lie I want you to see, is my fears define my future. The first lie the enemy will throw to you and I in this fake news story, the lies we tell ourselves, is that my fears will determine, what's that word? My, for the three of you who are listening, what's that last word? One, two, three. There it is. My fears define my future. We see these excuses that start to come out, these little lies that turn into the big lie. In Exodus chapter 4, verse 10, then Moses said to the Lord, "Oh my Lord, I am not eloquent. Neither before nor since you have spoken to your servant, but I am slow to speech and I am slow of tongue." Excuses become to roll out of Moses' life. He says, "God, you can't use me. I have all of these faults. I have all of these weaknesses. I'm really, really, really ordinary. I'm imperfect." He says, "I've got this one huge weakness." Many theologians think that he had this stuttering problem. He had a speech impediment. He thinks, "God can't use me. How can I be God's spokesman if I can't speak well? How can I be your great communicator, God, when I'm a terrible communicator?" And God, I love this in my imagination. Moses, "I know what you're like. I created you. I know your weakness. But it's not about your weakness. It's about my strength." God always asks us to do things that we can't do in and of our own strength. God always is going to ask you to do things to shove you out of your comfort zone and into your calling. Sally and Kelsey and I have a friend who always says the comfort zone is the danger zone. You can't fulfill God's calling and purpose in your life in your comfort zone. So that's why we bring new pulpits in. That's why we put new signs up. That's why we put things on the doors. I'm just teasing. We can't fulfill God's purpose in our comfort zone. We're always striving to get comfortable, to get problems out of our lives, to make everything perfect, to think one day I'll just be totally comfortable. Anybody in here? We think one day I'll be comfortable. Then I'll enjoy my life and be what God's called me to be. We're always trying to get difficulty out of the way. But really, the comfort zone is the death zone. There's no oxygen for your passion in the comfort zone. That's why God allows you to go through the desert sometimes, to push you out of that comfort zone into the calling. It's the desert many times that we discover our destiny. And some of you this morning, you're in the desert. Some of you this morning, you're in the desert. But friends, that is not your destiny. The desert isn't your destiny because God says, "I will use the desert to help you discover your destiny." Moses said, "I am not a good speaker. I can't be your spokesman. I can't even speak well." Here's the lie. My weakness keeps God from using me. But the truth is this. The truth is this. The truth is the weaknesses. My weaknesses is what God uses most. Hello. My weaknesses is what God uses most. Isn't that what Paul said over there in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 8 and 9? He has this thorn in the flesh. Man, he wants this thing to go away. He wants this thing to go away. You have a thorn in your flesh and you want it to go away, and it's hindering you. And then this beautiful verse comes sweeping over the pages of 2 Corinthians 12, verse 9. "My grace is sufficient for you. My power is made perfect in your weakness." The truth is, my weaknesses are what God uses most. Behind This fake news story is the truth that God wants my weakness so that He could show Himself powerful. That's what happened. God took the weakness of Moses. God took the weakness of Joshua, and as I learned to develop and to depend on Him and to trust Him and to learn that it's His power that fills me to speak, He gives me confidence, peace, strength in His words. The lie is that our fears define our future. In Exodus 3, verse 11, it says, "But Moses said to God, 'Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh, that I should bring out the children of Egypt?'" Moses' insecurities and fears come up in front, to the forefront, because of his past failures. He was confident and strong, and he felt that he was so gifted. Now he's lost all of his confidence. He's fearful, he's insecure, he has no courage, he feels really weak. God says, "Great, great, this is a great place for Moses to be. Now I can use you, Moses." Moses says, "Who am I? I'm just a nobody. I'm an ordinary. I'm imperfect. But now I can use you because you're weak and you're broken and you're needy for me." Let me just give you this extra here. My God determines my destiny as well. Moses' focus was wrong. He was focused on his inadequacies, his feeling of insecurity, his fears. If you focus on your fears and your feelings of inadequacy, your feelings of insecurity that rise up in us constantly, then you've got the wrong focus. God shows him this in chapter 3, verse 14. Look at it. When God says, "Moses, I am who I am. Say this to the people of Israel. I am sent me to you." Moses says, "Who am I to go to this great leader? I'm just an ordinary, imperfect, fearful, insecure." God says, "My name is I am." Then Moses said, "Who am I going to tell that sent me? They're not going to believe me." And God says, "Well, my favorite name for myself is the name I am." Seems strange to us, that name. But God was saying, "Moses, it's not about who you are. It's about who I am." Friends, it's not about who we are. It's about who He is. When you say to God, "Who am I to do this? Who am I? I'm just ordinary." That's really not humility. What that is pride, selfishness, focused on self. And God says, "Stop focusing on what you can't do and start focusing on what you can do through the risen Jesus Christ." It's not about who you are. It's about who He is. Then it's about who we are in Christ. We've got to change our focus completely. Let me give you this next lie the enemy hurls at you and I. My failures are the final story. My failures are the final story. This is the lie that the enemy throws to you and I. My failures are my final story. Another little lie that really gets bigger and relates to this fake news story in Exodus chapter 4, verse 13. "But Moses said, 'Pardon your servant, Lord. Please send someone else.'" He said, "God, you've got the wrong guy. I've done this deliverer stuff. I've failed miserably. I tried this. I can't do this. My failures are the final story." But the truth is this, that I submit to you this morning, God's purpose is always the final story. It's always the final story. God's purpose is the final story. And it's over there in Proverbs chapter 19, verse 21. "Many are the plans in a person's heart." You can see it up here. "Many are the plans in a person's heart, but it is the Lord's purpose that prevails." God says, "No pain from your past can derail my purpose for your life. In fact, I can take your greatest pain and turn it into your greatest purpose." God says, I can take your greatest mess and make it the greatest miracle of your life. I can take your greatest failures if you give them to me, and I can turn them into a great future. Isn't this wonderful news, church family? There's no failure that stops God's purpose. God's purpose will not be stopped. God's purpose cannot be thwarted. God's purpose will prevail. God says, all you have to do is step back into my will, and I will take that path somehow, and I will turn it in to my purpose. Can I just give you three simple things as we move forward today, as we walk outside of these walls, that you can take with you and you can apply these into your life? Here's number one. Let go of the past. Speaking to everybody in this room right now, you have to let that past die if you want to live. You have to let go of the past. How do I let God do that? First, I've got to come to this place at the burning bush that God and Moses met and ask the all-important question. He always asks of you and me before we can align ourselves to His purpose. Here it is in Exodus 4, verse 23. The Word of God says this, "Then the Lord said to him, 'What is that in your hand?' 'A staff,' he replied. The Lord said, 'Throw it on the ground.' Moses threw it on the ground, and it became a snake, and he ran from it." I absolutely love this account. It's my little shepherd staff here. Can you just picture it? The thing that Moses used to fight off enemies, the thing that Moses used to lean on when he was tired, the thing that Moses used to help guide his way. God says, "Moses, what's that in your hand?" Moses is, I don't know if you've ever been to the pit of despair. But sometimes when you have something that you've been accustomed with, you cling to it. I got some memories with this thing. I got some stories about this thing. This thing got me through some hard times. "Moses, what's that in your hand?" "Moses, what's that in your hand?" Oh, this little thing, God? No, you don't want this. "Moses, what's that in your hand?" "No, this is just some stick. Don't worry about it." "Moses, give it to me." "What's he say?" "Moses. Moses. What's he say?" "Drop it. Drop it, Moses. Drop it." I want everybody to look at me right now. I wonder if God looks into your heart right now. There's something you're clinging to. There's something you're holding on to. God speaks to your heart and He says, "What's that in your hand? What's that in your life? Relationship? Job? What is it? Give it to me. Drop it. Lay it at my feet. Surrender it. Stop clinging to it. It's not yours. Stop worrying about you. Put your eyes on me, and I'll take care of you. The Father knows what you need even before you ask. You don't think that I can take care of you? Drop it. Drop it." And here's the miracle. I mean, Moses, can you imagine trying to pick that thing up and it'd be a snake? I'd be running. The only good snake's a dead one, right? Can you imagine that? For God to ask Moses, "Throw it on the ground." Moses threw it on the ground and it became a snake. And he did what you and I would do. We run. When we give something to God, He'll either take it and turn it into something greater for His purpose, and we give it back. Or He will take something greater, He'll take something different that's greater for His purpose and for your good. When we give something to God, He'll either take it and turn it into something greater for His purpose, Or He'll make it something different entirely that's greater for His purpose and your good. We don't understand this at times. We know that He knows what's best. We give it to Him. We give over everything. Then He can take us and make something beautiful out of us. God always has to take the snake out of it. Are you aware of that? God always has to take the snake out of it. It turned into a snake. Then Moses ran away. Then he picks it back up when God tells him the snake is gone. God always does that. If it's a dream that God put in your heart, and you give it over to Him, He takes the snake out of it. The selfishness is out of it. The wrong motives are out of it. Then He gives it back for you in His greater purpose. If it's a relationship and you give it to God, He gives it back to you. It's always a new purpose, a new meaning, a new connection, a new depth it didn't have before. He takes the snake out of it. Whatever you give over to God, He takes the selfishness out of it and gives it back to you for a divine purpose, a higher calling, a deeper level with God. God always works that way. We've got to let go. Isaiah 43, verse 18, you've been looking at it, and here's what the Word of God says: forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. See, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I am making a way in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland. I want you to underline a few words there. Do not dwell on the past. I am doing a new thing. Do not dwell on the past, dear friends. Let me give you number two. Obey God in the present. We're going to let go of the past. We're going to obey God now. We're going to obey God in the present at this very moment. The second thing you and I need to do is obey God in the present. If we're going to get back on track, we've got to let go of our past, but we've got to step into obedience now. And that's what Moses did in Exodus chapter 4, verse 4. So Moses reached out and he took a hold of that snake and he turned it back into a staff in his hands. Sometimes God will ask you to do things that make no sense whatsoever. I'm sure our missionaries in the room can tell us all about that as well. And you and I could stand and testify to that. But we have to learn to obey because God knows what is absolutely best for us. And lastly is this. We need to move boldly into the future. Let go of our past. Be obedient now. And let's move boldly into the future. Don't let your fears or your failures keep you from stepping forward in faith and experiencing God's power. There was a time when they came to the Red Sea. And they had left Egypt and the Egyptian army was coming after them. And we know this account. Of course they were trapped, the Egyptian army behind them, the Red Sea in front of them. Moses was praying in the passages in Exodus 14. Exodus 14, verse 15 and 16 says this. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Why are you crying out to me? Moses, why are you crying out to me? Tell the Israelites to move on. Raise your staff and stretch out your hand over the sea to divide the water so that the Israelites can go through the sea on dry ground." Moses is praying for God's miracle. God says, "All right, it's time to stop praying and start moving forward." There's a time where we got to put feet to our prayers. There's a time where you got to stand up and you got to move into action. You have to press forward. That's pretty strange for us because we don't pray as much as we should. But there are times when our praying and our thinking and our discussing and our asking with God comes to movement. And God says, "Hey, look, it's time to stop praying and start moving forward in faith." Nothing is going to change until you move forward in faith. What does God want us to move forward in? To you, sir. To you, ma'am. What is God asking you to move forward in? What do you need, friends? What do you need to let go of? To be obedient in? And to step forward in the faith. I want to give you this last verse. We'll be on our way. Because we have a delicious spaghetti meal awaiting us. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20. Now to Him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. God says, I am able to do far more beyond anything that you could ever imagine. Anything you could even dream of, if you just give it over to me. Then I'll do something in your life beyond anything you could imagine, infinitely beyond your highest hopes. God's hope for your life is higher if you'll lay it down to Him. Your past doesn't disqualify you from God's purpose in the present. God's purpose will not be stopped. God's plan will move forward. Whatever God gives you the plan to do, He gives you the power to do it. Whenever God guides, He always provides when we step out in faith. I wonder what it is this morning, dear friends, that you need to let go of, that you need to be obedient in, and you need to move forward in faith in. Let's go to the Lord.